Welcome to EA Business Radio. We are live here in Atlanta, and it's hot Atlanta today. It's living up to its name, and I've got four hot companies here with us. First, I want to introduce Kim Freeman with Catalyst Leadership Coaching. We also have Michael Gross, who I will say is a great EA member. We're proud to have him part of our group. He is president of Dividend America. I'm looking forward to this conversation, Michael. Since you joined, I've been wanting to talk with you more in depth about your company. So welcome here today. We have Chris Lusk here with What Counts, and we'll see what counts with What Counts. Right, Chris?
We will. Thank you.
And then we have Cornelia Shipley of 3C Consulting, and I'm looking forward to hearing what each of the C's of the 3C's stand for. Used to, there was a company called 3M. Are you the next 3M, huh?
Possibly. We'd love that.
Does anyone know what the M stood for?
I used to, actually. We found out in business school, but I don't remember in the moment.
I'll give you the first two, and somebody will tell me by the end of the program. Mining and manufacturing were the first two of the three C's. Think of the third one, and we'll have some fun by the end of the show. But we're glad to have you here, Cornelia. First, let's start with our member here with Michael. Michael, tell us about Dividend America. In these financial times, I'm sure people are wanting to hear, and especially these emerging businesses, people want to hear about what your company does.
Yeah, it's a very exciting time for a lot of businesses, and actually, frankly, a lot of people who came out of big business who are now starting their own businesses, and they have ideas that are going to take business in America to a whole new level and really change the way things used to be done and make them newer, fresher, more efficient. What we do is we provide lending for those emerging businesses and entrepreneurs. So commercial lending has been fairly tight over the last 3 or 4 years, but it's really starting to loosen up now. Still a lot of banks aren't lending, but companies like mine have gone out and found alternative sources of lending. So we're backed by three hedge funds, and we also create relationships with other entities around the United States that actually do want to lend, you know, from pension funds to insurance companies and even credit unions who don't understand how to get out there and market for the commercial loans. We're able to become their sales force for them, so to speak, and lend their money for them. We're really excited because right now we can do everything from a $250,000 startup all the way up to $100 million in construction financing for a hotel, for instance. So right now there is money out there for entrepreneurs to start business or expand their businesses, and that's what we help provide for them.
Oh, very good. Now, so are you looking for collateral?
We do look for collateral for some of our clients. There's something called a capital stack. So whereas we can provide a loan, a lot of times the owner needs to come in with equity, and he may have a down payment or a portion of the amount of equity that he needs to invest. We look for those investors who can help him with the equity amount that has to be put into the loan in order for the lender to make the loan. So providing security for the lender.
So you're just kind of bypassing the banks here to get straight to people like with hedge funds that have money, and maybe you can be a little more flexible with them. Is that
right? We joke. We say that banks have no money. That's not the truth. Banks have money to lend. It's just they want to lend to the absolutely perfect lender. They have a box, and if you don't fit in the box, you don't get the loan. We go out and we find capital resources that want to lend on good deals, and then we help our borrowers structure their business in such a way that they can receive those loans. We essentially sell the borrower to the lender and say, this is why this person needs the money, and this is why it's a great risk for you as a lender.
Got it. Okay, what the big banks in town are pulling the rug out from under entrepreneurs, because many of them were loaning money on home equities. Mm-hmm. You could get any kind of money you wanted to on home equities, and many of these companies were being financed with home equity loans.
Right.
There's one in particular that's just killing entrepreneurs, and I've already said this publicly, and we've sought them out, Wells Fargo, to do something about pulling so much of the rug out from under them, and they seem to be the one that's the worst right now. What could you tell us about home equity lines? Are you doing home equity for companies?
No, we don't, and not many lenders are. Lenders are so heavily weighted right now in real estate that especially the big banks, they actually are making loans, but they don't want real estate involved. The perfect example is actually got a really great referral partner at Wells Fargo, and I help them sometimes with loans that Wells Fargo turns down because real estate's involved. We're doing a couple of loans for them right now. And especially when it comes to equity lines, because, you know, the Case-Shiller report just came out in the Atlanta market. We dropped another, I think it was 5% in residential real estate values last quarter. You're still seeing some uncertainty out there, so the lenders don't want to do that. But there are solutions. We have lines of credit now that we can put against someone's business or their cash flow instead of going against the house. It's just a different way of looking at where the resources for capital for small business come from. No longer do we want to look towards the home, which is actually a good thing for the business owner, so that they're not leveraging their home. There are other ways we can help them structure their business in such a way to go out and get approved for these lines of credit to help them grow their business.
Okay, we just had Andrea walk in from our EATV. She helps us on the TV. Y'all can see why they get her on TV and me on radio, right? There's a big reason for that.
I've got a face for radio, too.
They are smart, smart folks around this place. Cliff, you take care of radio. Andrea, you take care of the TV. So we welcome Andrea. Thank you. Okay, how should people get in touch with you? If they want someone who needs a rising business loan, emerging business loan, how would they get in touch with you, Michael?
Well, I'm very accessible. They can reach out to me through my website, which is dividendamerica.com. That's dividend like a stock dividend, america.com. And out there, they'll actually find my personal cell phone. I'm very accessible to my clients. I have a whole team that I work with. I try and take every call that comes into my company. We're growing rapidly, expanding into Phoenix and Chattanooga, so it's a little tough, but as long as I can, I'll continue to talk to every client that comes through my company.
Okay, very good. We're glad to have you here today. Now, you joined DA when?
I think we're coming up on renewal.
Renewal?
It was about a year ago. It's been a phenomenal experience. Because I travel so much, sometimes I have to send my staff, but we have actually started to grow our business out of it. EA, we've started to develop really great relationships with Keller Williams, who's another big member here.
Yeah,
and you know, there's just a phenomenal opportunity for business professionals not only just to come and attract business, but to network with other professionals, understand the challenges that we have as entrepreneurs, and know that there's a place that we can come together and learn together. It's really phenomenal.
Well, very, very well said. You know, one of the things we're seeing a trend we're seeing in the marketplace with these, what we call emerging businesses, going through these economic times, to survive and thrive is exactly how Michael's doing it. And you're going to have set up strategic partnerships. And you're going to have to meet people that you can leverage their relationships.
Exactly.
It is not right now one-on-one, calling one-on-one, one client after one client, can be part of the methodology. But we're seeing the more successful people have gotten these distribution points, need a distribution system. And in this case, Keller Williams would be your distribution system.
Exactly.
So, you know, you take Panit over at MetaMedia. He told me this year he's closed 7 deals from EA. That's good, but I told him, I said, you know, you still got to go beyond the one-on-one.
Well, it's leveraging channels, right?
That's right.
And so we have so many channels that we leverage, but being part of EA, all of those channels are in EA as well.
Yeah.
So whereas before I would have to go out and try and knock on one Keller Williams door and try and get in, here I have instant credibility and they let me in the door anyways. So it's really phenomenal the way that you can leverage EA.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. We're glad to have you today. And next I come up to Kim Freeman, Catalyst Leadership. Tell us about Catalyst, Kim.
Okay, so Catalyst Leadership Coaching is focused on developing and growing leaders. And I believe that there is a difference between management and leadership. Management is achieving defined, predefined objectives through others, whereas leadership is creating a defining vision and aligning followers. And for many years, I worked in corporate America in Fortune 500 companies, and I would see managers go off to a training program, and they would come back with a big binder that sat on the shelf and gathered dust. But I didn't see behavior change, which was really the impetus for them going to the leadership program in the first place. And I thought to myself, there's got to be a more effective way. And I believe that coaching is that way. I firmly believe that.
Sure. There's Harvard Business Review did a landmark study on the difference between charisma and management. And it went out and tried to find which one is more successful, as the leader to have management skills or charisma skills. What do you think? You might have seen this in the Harvard Business Review, but the findings were very revealing about which is more powerful. Which one do you want your CEO?
Well, that's a good question, because I think that you, to be an effective leader, you do have to have good management skills. But I think that as a leader, it's more about who you are than what you do.
That's interesting. The study showed that management and charisma is good to get a company to a certain level. Mm. And it's more powerful in the short and medium term, not just the short term, but medium term. But they looked at it at companies who'd been successful over a 20-year period of time, and management started winning out. So I think there's different life cycles of companies when they may need the charismatic leader versus the management leader. So I agree. Now, you say leadership is about who you are. So you don't think it's about what you do? You think management's about what you do and leadership's about who you are?
Yes, and you need structure, you need accountability, you need people around you that can complement your skills. One of the challenges, I think, in growing a company is that, especially if you were the person that started the company, is letting go of a lot of the things that you used to do, because when you start out, you do everything, right? But as you grow, you have to let some of that go, and you have to trust other people, which I understand is difficult.
Right. You have to trust and enable other people.
Correct.
You've got to be willing to allow for folks to be supported and take reasonable risk. Yeah. So, I mean, you're sitting here nodding your head, and you know that part of the reason your desire to kind of hang on is because you're not willing to enable folks and trust that they have the reasonable structure in place to take that risk.
Well, I've learned this from experience, and what you're saying is exactly right. So I realize that I need to continue to be the face of my company. I believe that I have a dynamic personality. I'm not trying to be conceited, but I believe that I have a dynamic personality. I can motivate people. I'm a good leader. But I've also realized just now that my company has grown to its level, and practically went from the management side, I've grown to my level of incompetence, right? So I actually went out and hired a CEO of my company.
Did you really?
And he is now my boss.
Right.
So I'm at the level now where I realize we're going to grow something. It's going to be a national company, and hopefully one day an international company. And I can continue to do what I do well, which is be that charismatic leader with a vision. But then I can put management, like you were saying, in place to actually make sure the company has systems and accountability and everything else it needs in order to be a dynamic, large company.
It's a great discussion. Kim, you really fired us up here.
You got
everybody jumping in.
I'm the catalyst.
You're the catalyst for that conversation.
Yes.
What is your typical client like?
I primarily work with senior level leaders, and anywhere from a one-person company to a major corporation. And I specialize in working with women who work in male-dominated fields because I think they have some special challenges, things like technology, medicine, engineering, finance.
Okay. Now, you got a lot of titles here on your name. MBA, I get that one. PMP, what is PMP?
That's a professional or project management professional.
Okay.
I used to be a project manager.
I got it. Then SPHR.
It's a senior professional in human resources.
So you got all the credentials for sure, and you have a big company background. You work for Fortune 500, and now you're out helping these emerging companies grow. What is the number one reason why people just won't listen to you? Because entrepreneurs, for the most part, you know, all of this prior discussion was very good. You know, there's always different avenues. I mean, some entrepreneurs are say, you know what I need here is a bunch of, I need enablers. I don't need to enable anybody. I got to have enablers here, and we got to go. We got to go. We got to move fast. That's just another approach. You know, I mean, it's just a different approach. So what is the number one reason why people won't listen to you?
I think because they've been successful doing certain things, and they have habitual behaviors. And it's hard to let go of what you've been doing that has made you successful up to a point. It's risky and fear-inducing to go and do the right thing poorly.
Right, right. I think that's well said. If we're successful at something, why would we change? So that's probably one of the biggest impediments that I see why people will not do something else. Especially, you know, we're seeing people that with all the changes that's gone in the market in the last 5 years, you know, it's hard for some of the folks to change that were successful even 5 years ago. I mean, some of the things that I did 5 years ago do not work today.
Right.
And we have to get a grasp of that and move on. And I think this is part of the educational platform we have at EA, is that it's a lifelong learning. It's not a class.
Absolutely.
It's lifelong learning. And if you're not part of some kind of lifelong learning entity, then I think you're really shortchanging your career. So we're glad to have you here today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next is Chris Lusk with What Counts. It's an interesting. That's an interesting company name.
I didn't think of it, but yes, it is.
Okay, who thought of that?
It's actually What Counts is a company that was based out of Seattle. They're another email marketing provider. We were the Manso Group based here in Atlanta, started by Alan Nance back in, I think it was 99, 2000. Alan grew the company organically, buying other companies with cash. And then we were backed here recently. And the goal now is just mergers and acquisitions. And so Manso Group purchased What Counts.
Is this Alan Nance's company?
It is. Is that good or bad? Are you going to kick me out or keep me in
here? No, that's good. I was on a panel. I was on a panel recently with Alan.
Well, he's listening now, so.
No good.
Take off the air.
Alan Nance that graduated from West Georgia?
It is.
Oh, wow. Okay. Welcome.
Did I just derail me?
You should have. Yeah. Why didn't Alan come?
He's a busy guy. He's building a big company.
Everybody in here is busy.
He's building a big company. But What Counts, actually, we purchased those guys back in December, and we moved forward with the What Counts name. They had a little bit better platform and had just done a better job of branding. So we took their logo, we took their name, we rebranded it, relaunched around March.
I see. So, okay, so tell me about email marketing. Right now, all of our studies are showing if you send out a video, you got a 29% chance they're going to open it. You send out a email, it's down to like 4%. This is going to people who do not know you. Now, obviously, if they know you, the stats are different. But email is going to unknown subjects.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the unsub. Going to unsubs.
Well, that's unsubscribe in my business.
4%.
Right. I mean,
what
really,
can we do to get it up?
Well, the question is why don't they know you? How did they get on the list in the first place? Really, what we try to focus on is you want to grow your list organically. A lot of people, especially entrepreneurs, especially emerging businesses, fall victim to this claim out there that they can just buy this list of, you know, 10 million emails targeted directly to their market for $300. There's a lot of problems with that inherently. First of all, you're certainly going to have very, very small open rates. Number two, you're going to have a lot of complaints. More than likely, your ESP will just flat drop you when you do things like this. And it does nothing for your business. And it's a complete waste of money. What we recommend to people, I would much rather see somebody have a list of 1,000 names as opposed to 100,000 names of people that have no idea who they are. So you definitely want to be talking to the people that want to hear from you. So that's kind of the road that we take people down.
So mass email marketing is out then? Is that pretty much?
Well, I think the term mass email marketing in the sense of, yes, we're going to buy a list or run a list, that may be out. Mass, on the other hand, for some of our clients who are sending 250 million emails a month, that's mass. But all of those people want to hear from that specific retailer. But the days of just batch and blast, that's, we got to get rid of that and go toward life cycle.
I hear you. I mean, for instance, yesterday I went hiking.
Right.
So does that qualify me as a hiking email recipient of your email now?
If you signed up for one of our clients who is a hiking enthusiast site, then you would receive their email. You know, we really do a subscription-based. I think that when you said mass email, you're right. I think that's going away. We're looking more now to creating this one-to-one message. We're looking at the life cycle of customer engagement.
How can you compete with video?
Well, we actually offer video and email. We're one of the only ESPs that actually offer that capability. So you're right. Video has great open rates, great engagement rates. Once you send someone an email with a video in it, and they know that the next video or the next email is going to have video, their open rates go up by 200 to 300%. The click-through rates go up by 22 to 30%. So we actually don't compete with the video. We're actually delivering that medium now.
Okay, go ahead.
What's the right length of time for a video in an email marketed piece?
Ask your client. If you have the reporting capabilities, which we do in our great ESP, and in our platform, we can tell you how long people are watching. And so if you see that 90% of your people are watching 25% of the video, shorten it, and vice versa. So we've been able to help a lot of clients. Let's say they're sending a training video. We can not only track who's opening it and who's watching it, so you can play Big Brother, but we can tell you if it's too long or too short, where they're falling off, where they're engaging the most.
Okay, can you annoy a client with so many emails? You know what?
Absolutely.
I'm starting to see the very best email marketeers are the people who can say the least in the least amount of emails.
Great point. That's a great point. What we tell a lot of our clients to do is have a preference center and ask people two things. Number one, how often do you want to hear from me? And if you do decide to leave me, why? Was it too many emails? Was the content not on target? And the only people that can answer that are the people that are subscribing or unsubscribing from your list.
So the writing of the email is very important. Now, you know, every word you put in there has to be precious, because one too many words could get you the delete.
You're
finger.
Right. And the problem now, I say it's a problem, it's great for people who receive emails, but guys like Gmail, AOL, and Yahoo, they've made it very, very easy for you to hit the spam button or complaint button instead of you actually going down to unsubscribe. And so there's a balance that you have to walk there. You don't want to make your people mad, but you do want to give them the content that they want when they want it.
Well, okay. Go ahead.
One of the things that really triggered me, what you just said, was words matter. You know, Frank Luntz has got a new book out, and it's all about the 21 words or phrases for the 21st century. And, you know, words like imagine and certain phrases like financial security and those types of things can help you to deliver a message and use less words and really gather people's interest. So it was just kind of, words are important, right? I mean,
very true. And we actually, we try to, we have this A-B split testing solution within the platform, and it's something that you should do. I don't care how small you are, how small your list is, or how large it is. We tell people constantly test. Send out that subject line because that's the first thing that people see. So take those words that you're talking about, Mike, and see which one works the best and what group do they work to as opposed to the words that didn't work or maybe had a lower open rate.
Okay. Well, we're glad to have you here today, Chris.
Thank you.
I think email and video services is going to be redefined in the next probably 24 months.
I agree.
What we see in the marketplace and what worked in the past is not going to work in the future. We're glad to have you. I see now I invited Alan to EA. He must have passed on the invitation to you.
Or he just sent me because he's a good manager and he delegates.
Okay. Well, I got it. Tell Alan I say that's great to be a good leader and come next time.
There you go.
And he'll have both under his umbrella. He'll be a manager and a leader. The next is Cornelia. Cornelia, the three C's of consulting. Did you figure out the third M? And I said in 3M, it was manufacturing, mining. Has anybody figured out? I thought y'all might have a smartphone. You could Google it.
I actually could have Googled it, but I wanted to pay attention and participate in the
thank
conversation.
Thank you.
So I could have done that. So no, you'll have to share with us.
What's your three C's?
Our three C's are clarity, capability, and capacity.
Clarity, capability, and capacity. So that's what you bring to the table.
Mm, that's what we help our clients do is to gain clarity, back to Kim's conversation earlier about clear vision, increase their capability, so the capability of the organization. We have some special programs that we do to teach coaching skills for managers, as an example, and then also to increase people's capacity, back to the conversation we were having earlier about enabling people to take reasonable risks and for people to trust in their organization.
Right, right. Now, you came to the last EA symposium, correct?
I did, yes.
You were a paid attendee, I saw.
Yes.
Where'd you see, how'd you learn about EA?
A colleague of mine actually recommended that we come.
Oh, we love that colleague.
Yeah.
Good. That's how
and it was really valuable. I had a fabulous conversation with the one of your sponsors, the 401k.
Yeah. Lewis Brown.
Thank you, Lewis. And he was wonderful. The information that he shared and the two star and the former governor were fabulous keynote speakers. I mean, they really were able to deliver a lot of quality content in a finite period of time. So you did a great job.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Lewis has been he was a professional. He played at the Masters one year. Mm-hmm. He was a professional golfer. And now he's been an EA member for about 3 years now. He's one of the charter members. So, yeah, he's a great guy. And if you looked at the governor and star, I wanted everybody to make sure they saw the contrast in there. You know, this week I turned down a very important person in this town, and they wanted to speak. And I said, you know what, I can't – we would, you know, allow it because what the EA folks are wanting is something they don't see every day. So we put a thank you for your comments on Brown and Star Hall. Both were outstanding. So do you have a center? Do you have a center for leadership?
We do. We have a center for performance, excellence, and impact. And in the center, we actually do four things. We offer coaching skills for managers. We offer a public program called Performance Excellence. We offer an executive program, which is the Executive Impact Program, and then we offer an in-house program, predominantly at Fortune 500 companies and above, called Leadership Bootcamp, which is a week-long experience where we take people away from their organization and they're there from 8 in the morning till about 10 o'clock at night every day working through who they're being in their organization and the impact that it has on their team and their team dynamic. And we enhance their ability to do cross-cultural and cross-boundary communication through that experience.
Let me ask, does it matter where they're at in the organization?
Is it doesn't. We include everyone from administrator level to the chief executive.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Yeah, it's typically people who are considered to be high performers across those levels, but there are times when brand new employees, it could be their first week at work, and they'll show up to that experience, depending upon what the organization has planned for that particular employee.
Thank you.
Okay, what inspired you to start 3C Consulting?
Wow, that's a great question, Cliff. I actually was inspired, probably very similar to Kim, having watched leaders in organizations I say it this way, hurt people hurt people, and hurt leaders hurt people and cause organizations to lose really talented employees. And so I wanted to make sure, having gone through coach training and having done a lot of strategic planning work, to help leaders be able to strategically plan so that they were not hurting people and they didn't turn around and wonder one day, and I'm sure some of us have had this experience or know someone who has, who says, how did I wind up here? I knew too many leaders who, at the end of their career, were in a position where they said, how did I get to this place? And it's a place I don't want to be. And so helping people to navigate the organization's aspirations for them, coupled with their own individual aspirations to create their desire by design, is the work that we do, both for individuals and for organizations.
Well, you got some world-class clients here: General Motors, Hewlett-Packard, University of Michigan, Duke University. How are you getting all these great clients?
Predominantly by referral. You know, back to your comment earlier about building your list organically, we have built our business organically, and we have a wonderful team of coaches across the country who assist in that process.
All right. Where are you going with 3C Consulting? You got that boot camp. Are you going to expand that nationally?
Yeah, we do it nationally currently across organizations that, you know, requested. It actually started at Procter & Gamble, and the center director is the retired senior vice president of human resources for P&G. And so that's where it started. And we're actually in discussions right now with a couple of companies to actually bring it to their organizations.
Okay, I'll ask you, and I'll go back to Kim and Chris real quickly. Well, how would someone get in touch with you if they wanted to speak with 3C Consulting? How would they get in touch with you?
They can either visit our website at 3cconsult.com. That's 3cconsult.com. Or they can call our office at 877-853-5340.
All right, Kim?
I have a website. It is www.catalystleadershipcoaching.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Kim Friedman, and that's spelled F-R-E-E-D-M-A-N. I tweet. I have a Facebook page. I'm pretty easy to find.
You're easy to find. I'm glad you mentioned LinkedIn. And one day we're going to have a radio show just on LinkedIn. I think that's a really powerful tool out there that, you know, Facebook gets a lot of, obviously they got 600 million users, but for business to business, I see a gold mine in LinkedIn. Chris, how do I get in touch with you and Alan?
Website. Maybe not Alan, but you can go to
Is his company too big now?
I guess so. You'd have to ask Alan.
Okay.
But you can find me anywhere. Whatcounts.com is the best place to reach us.
Whatcounts.com. Okay. Very good. Well, this has been a really delightful conversation today. I've had a lot of fun. Has anybody figured out 3M, manufacturing, mining, and
media?
Minerals.
Okay. Media was good, though.
they probably would call it media if they were starting it today.
Right.
4M. Manufacturing, media. But, does anybody understand how they started the Post-it note?
It was an accident.
Yeah, it was an accident. Yeah.
Everybody knows it's an accident.
Yeah,
see?
It was an accident.
This is all right, that you've answered that quiz question, so now the class can go. We're glad that each of you all joined with us today. We want to thank our listeners, and EA Radio welcomes you next Monday at the same time with 4 more dynamic leaders. And welcome to EA, and goodbye.